The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
This morning's scripture reading is Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps, as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning. One of our favorite movies to watch in the Kresnik household over the last 10 years or so has been Disney Pixar's Inside Out, which if you haven't seen it, I highly suggest it. Throughout the movie, we're introduced to characters or emotions named joy, sadness, disgust, anger, and fear. And through beautiful storytelling, this movie has helped us as a family simply name our emotions. The way you talked to me made me feel sad. Or I was afraid when this happened. Or when you do X, Y, or Z, it makes me angry. Or when you chew your food that way, it disgusts me. And it doesn't necessarily come out that calm and clear. We're working on it. But it's fun. It's also fun to look at some of our family members and attribute, hey, which emotion easily attaches to our family members. And so when we think of Grandma Sherry, we think of joy. She loves having people over. She's so happy throwing parties and making food for people. My wife, Jenny, she embodies joy when she's out in her garden or when she's prepping for her kindergarten class. Those things bring her joy. Uncle Kyle, he sang in a metal band. He sounds angry. Or my kids will say, Dad, when you were a teenager, you were emo, so you must be sad. And I say, nope, I was just sad on the outside, but angry, fiery anger on the inside. So good morning. My name is Mike Kresnik. I'm one of the pastors, and I'm an angry person. But a work in progress by the grace of God. But we're not talking about anger this morning. I want to talk about the emotion of fear. Dr. Paul Ekman, he became a PhD in clinical psychology in 1954. He was the author of the book Emotions Revealed, and he was the scientific advisor for the movie Inside Out. And his research has found that fear is one of seven universally shared emotions amongst all humans. So that means that each and every one of us are afraid of something this morning. And if not now, we have been afraid. And if we've never been afraid, we will be afraid someday. But fear plays out in different ways. Sometimes fear is innate. It is a hardwired response in us that keeps us from danger. For instance, I've never had a negative experience with a poisonous snake, but I am deathly afraid of snakes. When my family visited Chimney Rock in western Nebraska, I saw this sign, and everything inside of me said, Mike, do not get out of the minivan. There's danger out there. But maybe for you, it's not snakes. Maybe it's high heights or deep water. What innate fears reside inside of you? Fears can also be acquired, meaning we can learn them from experiences that we have in life, and those experiences produce fear in us. So for example, when I was 2 years old, I was attacked by a ferocious dog with gnarly teeth, and it wanted to eat my face. I thought it did. That's what it felt like. So this very day, if I see a ferocious dog walking through the neighborhood, my heart rate rises. Or if your cute little dog wants to come up to me and get into my business, my heart rate rises, and I don't like your dog because of this learned fear. Nothing against you or your dog. It's on me. But we all have fears like this, fears that we've learned. Maybe you watched your parents struggle with money, so now you fear not having enough. Or maybe you've seen friends come and go, and so you're afraid of rejection, you're afraid of being alone. What learned, what acquired fears reside inside of you? What does fear have to do with Psalm 56? Some of your Bibles have an inscription above the psalm that reads something like this: to the choir master, according to the dove on far off terebinths, a midcome of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Some scholars believe that this psalm was inspired by David's real life experience in 1 Samuel 21. You see, the King Saul and his army was chasing David. They wanted to get rid of David. And so David, fleeing King Saul, fled to the Philistines, and they captured him. And so David had enemies opposing him on both sides. Simply put, David, the anointed king, the warrior, the man after God's own heart, was afraid. And because we are humans with emotions just like David, and we live in a broken world just like David, we too have things that cause us to be afraid. And here's what the scriptures want to teach us this morning. God does not want us to merely cope with our fears. God wants to triumph over our fears. And Psalm 56 will show us that trusting in him can relieve us of our fears. Trusting God can relieve our fears. That's where we're going this morning. And to get there, we first need to admit that we are a fearful people. Second, we need to place our trust in God. And third, we need to practice trusting God. So first, let's look at the fact that we are a fearful people. Let's look at Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, let's pause there. When I am afraid, notice that David doesn't say, if I am afraid, when I am afraid. So I have some breaking news for us. The ancient scriptures have determined for thousands of years what modern psychology has just recently affirmed: we are a fearful people. The scriptures attest to this over and over and over again. We see in the very beginning, Genesis 3, Adam was afraid of God in the garden after he sinned and he realized he was naked. Saul in 1 Samuel 28 was afraid and trembled when he saw the Philistine army. Joseph, Jesus' earthly father in Matthew 2, was afraid of the Roman government when Jesus was born. Peter was afraid when he was walking on the water towards Jesus and began to sink. Jesus' disciples were afraid after the resurrection in Matthew 28 and Luke 24. And Paul, the apostle, the missionary, the church planter, he too was afraid while on his missionary journeys in Acts 18 and 27. So when I am afraid, not if. What are you afraid of? The reality is that a lot of us have grown up in fearful times. We have the Cuban Missile Crisis, Vietnam War, news of child abductions and gang violence in the streets, fear of inflation and stagflation and economic collapse, artificial intelligence, terrorism, school shootings, Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. It was on and on and on. These headlines are blasted to us 24/7, and it keeps us in a constant state of fear and confusion. These headlines make us fearful of maybe losing our own quality of life, and at worst, even losing our own lives. Simply put, we're afraid of dying. And if not by war, then by our health deteriorating, or maybe our physical appearance deteriorating, and we just want to cover it up with one more day at the gym, or one more diet, or more makeup, or more hair color. We're escaping our fear of death. Chris Martin in his band Coldplay sings about not wanting to follow death and all of his friends. Maybe it's not death you're afraid of, but maybe you're afraid of one of death's friends. Maybe you're afraid of being alone or rejected. Will I always feel alone in a room full of people? Will this relationship lead to rejection again? Or will my faith in Jesus cause my family to disown me or my friends to distance themselves from me? Maybe you're afraid of scarcity and you're asking, will I ever have enough money? Have I saved enough? Will God provide for me my wants, my needs? Maybe you're afraid of messing up as a parent. Did I discipline too much? Did we not discipline enough? Am I too rigid or am I too passive? Maybe you're too fearful, or maybe you're fearful of too many regrets, too many mistakes, and that you're too far gone to be accepted or loved. No matter what you're afraid of, we have to ask, what's the purpose of fear? Why am I afraid of these things? John Calvin speaks to this by saying, fear and hope may seem opposite and incompatible affections, yet hope never comes into full sway unless there exists some measure of fear. What if our fears are meant to reorient our hearts and drive us to hope in the one true God, the only one who can relieve us of our fears? That leads us to point number two. Once we admit that we are fearful, we need to place our trust in God. Look at verse 3 again with me. The psalmist says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. David also asked these rhetorical questions in verse 4. He says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. He asked, what can flesh do to me? And then again in verse 11, he asks, what can man do to me? What David here is doing here is he's relativizing his fears. He's saying that in comparison to the eternal love and faithfulness of God, what's the worst that man can do? Take my livelihood? Destroy my reputation? Take my life even? Oh well. I have an eternal weight of glory that cannot be taken from me. And so when we are afraid, we can ask in confidence, what can this sickness do to me? What can war or terrorism do to me? What can that person who hates me, who despises me, what can they do to me? In asking these questions, we aren't minimizing or we aren't ignoring our fears, but we're just seeing our real fears with the right perspective. David's fears were real and acute. He says in verse 1, man is trampling on me. My enemies trample on me all day long. They attack me proudly. Their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife as they have waited for my life. Your fears are real too. But God is bigger than your fears. And actually, trusting in God is the antidote to your fear. And so when you are afraid, you can trust in him. As we see in verse 1, we can trust in God because he is gracious, he is benevolent, he gives favor and blessings to his people. We can read verse 7 and see that we can trust a God who is just, who will not let our enemies escape. We can look at verse 8, and we can trust in a God who knows us, who cares for us, who is attentive for us. It says that you can count my tossings. What keeps you up at night? He knows. What have you shed tears about? He knows. He has your tears in a bottle. He has written them down in his book. He knows and he cares for you. Ultimately, you can trust in the rock solid promise of Psalm 56, verse 9, where it says, "This I know, that God is for me." The Apostle Paul echoes this in Romans 8 when he says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" You need to know that God is for you despite the fact that you may lose your job. God is for you despite the fact that your marriage may be a wreck. God is for you even though your finances may be a mess. God is for you despite the fact that you may not be the perfect parent or the perfect leader that your family needs. God is for you despite the fact that your body is aging. So how can we know? How can we have confidence to say, Psalm 56, verse 9, that God is for me? One of my favorite Christmas hymns is the hymn, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Big surprise, Mike's bringing things back to Christmas. For some of you, that is a surprise, but many of you, you're like, oh yeah, this is typical Mike. But it comes off as this sweet Christmas lullaby, yet it gets right to the heart of things with some deep theological truth. Listen as I read verse 1. "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." How do you know that God is for you? Because in that one cosmos-altering moment, God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came into time and space and gathered all of our fears, gathered all of our tearful anxieties, and he quieted them all. For the Lord Jesus came to take our fears of death and embarrassment and betrayal and rejection and loss. He took them onto himself when he was nailed to the cross. And as he was buried into the grave, he took all of those things with him into the grave, and he rose victorious over all of our fears, even death. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Watson talk about Christ's defeat of death. "Christ has disarmed death and taken away all its deadly weapons, so that, though it may strike, it cannot sting a believer. Christ has drawn the poison out of death, nay, has made death friendly. Christ has blunted the sting of death and broken its power, and now there comes about the abolition of sin and the passage to a better life. For as it says in Psalm 56, verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you don't need to fear death. You don't need to fear anything. And if you want this eternal peace, you don't have to run from your fears, but you can run to Jesus. You can personally turn to him and find all of your fears relieved in him. You can find salvation and deliverance in him. You can find true life and peace in him. But you may be asking, okay, I have repented. I do believe in Jesus. I want to follow Jesus, but how do I actually trust God? When I'm afraid, how do I put my trust in him? Psalm 56 shows us how to practice trusting God by giving us three things to embody, three things to practice: knowing God's word, prayer, and worship. Really profound, right? You might be thinking, oh man, the pastor is going to tell me to pray and read my Bible and then all my fears will magically go away. I'm not encouraging superficial spiritual disciplines, nor am I encouraging these things as an end unto themselves, but rather these practices get us to our greatest end, who is the one true God. They take us deeper with him and help us to embody and actually trust him. And trust is not a feeling that just comes to us magically. But rather, it's something we have to practice. We have to act our way into trust. Eugene Peterson once said this. He says, "We live in the age of sensation. We think that if we don't feel something, there can be no authenticity in doing it. But the wisdom of God says something different, that we can act ourselves into a new way of feeling much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting." We can act ourselves into a new way of trusting by knowing God's word, by praying, and by participating in corporate worship. These three things are practices of trust that we can embody whether we feel trusting or not. And so let's look at these. Let's look at how we can practice trusting God by knowing God's word. We see this in Psalm 56, verse 4 and verse 10. "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid." Notice that trust is connected to God's word. Let me give you some examples from my own life of how this plays out, how knowing God's word helps me practice trust. For me, when I am afraid that I don't have what it takes to be the father that I need to be the husband that I'm called to be the pastor that God has called me to be, I remember Joshua 1, where God tells me, "Don't be afraid, be strong, be courageous." Why? Because God is with me wherever I go. He will never leave me or forsake me. And I need to remember 2 Corinthians 3, where it tells me that the Spirit of God is indwelling inside of me, and it's God who makes me sufficient. It's God who makes me competent. God is the source of my confidence in whatever he's called me to do. When I am forced to reckon with my own mortality, I remember Psalm 23. "For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no death. I will fear no end, because God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." When I am fearful of the dark cloud of sadness and depression and loneliness that often lingers on the horizon of my soul, I remember Psalm 139, which tells me that the Lord knows me more than I know myself. And no matter how dark of a season I am in, I know that he is near me, illuminating the path towards joy. When I am afraid of not having enough, I have to remember Jesus' words in Matthew 6 and Matthew 10, where I'm forced to reckon with God's beautiful creation and how God takes care of every single animal, every single plant. And his eyes are even upon me. And he provides for me life, breath, and everything. Friends, I'm not just talking about reading your Bible for 10 minutes or listening to the Daily Liturgy podcast on the way to work and hoping that your fears magically go away. Rather, you need to be seeking out the promises of God in his word and placing your trust in what he has said and done. We need to be memorizing the promises that we are prone to forget. When we do that, it will help us trust. You can practice trust by hiding God's word in your heart. Next, we can practice trusting God through prayer. Notice in verse 1 that David is addressing God, "Oh God, be gracious to me." You can practice trusting God by praying to him and naming your fears and speaking honestly and boldly to him through your prayers. David Taylor writes about this in his book on the Psalms called Open and Unafraid. He says, "No emotion is excluded from the psalm-influenced prayer. No topic is out of bounds. This is good news for those of us who believe that we should always have our act together when we pray." Some of you feel that sometimes. You need to have the right heart. You need to have the right words. The Psalms reassure us that a willingness to talk to God is all that matters. The Psalms provide us with an edited poetic language to give expression to our unedited emotions. Their structure frees us to let it all out in faithful ways. You don't need to cope with your fears anymore. You can urgently and wholeheartedly cast your fears at the feet of King Jesus. In your private and public prayers, you don't have to ignore your fears, but you can acknowledge the lack of peace that you feel and how you are prone to wander from God and plead for his grace and mercy to meet you where you're at. We practice prayer to teach our hearts to trust in God. Finally, we can practice trusting God by prioritizing corporate worship. Look at the final two verses in Psalm 56 with me. I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Our participation in worship reorients us to a God who has delivered us from our fears. And so at the risk of sounding legalistic, the invitation for us all is to make corporate worship a priority in our lives. And if you think I'm being legalistic, would you say it's legalistic to tell someone they need air in their lungs to breathe? Like air in our lungs, week in and week out, we need to breathe in the good and beautiful truth that God, through his son Jesus, died on the cross and delivered us from Satan, sin, and death. And if he's done that, then we don't need to fear war. We don't need to fear economic collapse. We don't need to feel scared to enter into a room with people we don't know. We need corporate worship to reorient our fearful hearts. St. Augustine once said, a body by its weight tends to move towards its proper place. Fire tends to move upwards, a stone downwards. They seek their own place. Oil poured under water is drawn up to the surface on top of the water. Water poured on top of oil sinks below the oil. They are acted on by their respective densities. They seek their own place. These things which are not in their intended position are restless. Once they are in their ordered position, they are at rest. Augustine says in another place, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Your heart was not made to remain fearful. Rather, it was made to find its rest and its peace in the Lord Jesus. And so though we live in a disordered, fearful world, Christian worship reorders our lives to rest in the peace of Christ. And so Coram Deo, let me just kind of play this out for you, how this works out here on a Sunday morning. We gather to worship because we have fearful songs resonating in our souls. And so we show up to sing the gospel of hope to our fearful hearts and into the hearts of our neighbors around us who can't muster up the words. We gather to worship, to confess our sins and be reminded of the forgiveness and pardon that we've received because of God's grace. And we profess our faith in God to remind us of who he is and what he's done and that he is worthy of all of our trust. We gather to worship to partake of the Lord's table, to taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to taste the bread and the wine to be reminded that there's no need to be full of regret about our past and fear the penalty of sins anymore. Because if you are in Christ, your sins are forgiven and you are dressed in his garments of righteousness. We gather to worship together to pray to our Heavenly Father because we trust him to heal the sick. We trust him to provide for the needy. We trust him to turn sinners into saints. We trust him to bring his kingdom to earth as it is in heaven. We gather to worship to give our tithes and offerings to remind us that we don't need to fear anymore about not having enough because God has given us everything that we have and he will give us everything that we need. We gather to worship to hear the scriptures read and to hear sermons preached so that we can apply the scriptures to our lives and be taught how to walk with God in the light of life. What we do in corporate worship confronts our fears. And you know who gathers in this room every single Sunday? A bunch of fearful people who come to worship a God who has relieved us of our fears in the person and work of Jesus. Listen to Jesus' words from the book of John in John chapter 14. Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And again in John 16, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world," Jesus says. "In the world you will have tribulation." There will be fearful things that you experience in your life. You will be afraid. But what can man do to you? Take your life? Maybe. Can man destroy your soul? No. Even in man's best attempts, can man deliver you from your fears? No. But Jesus can. He's overcome the world, and we can trust him. So let's pray together, entrusting all things to God and pleading for his grace to trust him more. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that whoever follows you will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. God, you know our hearts. You know us more than we know ourselves. You know the different types of fears that each and every one of us have. You know the scope of them. You know the depth of them. You know how long we've been carrying them. God, give us the strength to turn from our fears and follow you into your light. Deliver us, Lord Jesus, from the fear that our sins are too big for you to redeem us from them. Deliver us, Jesus, from the fear that we are unlovable. Deliver us, Jesus, from the fear that trusting you will leave us more destitute. Deliver us, Jesus, from the fear that we have about the future. Deliver us, Jesus, from the fear of our failures and past regrets. Deliver us, Jesus, from the fear of being asked to give more than we have the capacity for. Deliver us, Jesus, from the fear of having no purpose and having no significance. Lord, we will be afraid. Help us trust in you. Give us the strength we need to trust you today more than we did yesterday. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.